Please get your Bibles now and let's turn together to Hebrews chapter 6 this evening, to the first three verses, dealing tonight with the subject of the laying on of hands. And I want to say at the outset, I'm a bit nervous to preach, and particularly on the subject tonight. I've maybe not stressed over a sermon as much as the one that I'm about to deliver tonight, mainly because of the great potential of being misunderstood in some ways, and then on the other hand, the challenge that I think it is for us to hear in some ways. I was gone this past week, and so I didn't have all the time I wanted to work on this, and so I was actually working on this even this afternoon. I was sitting at the table with my family, and I told them a bit of what I was going to talk about, and they were like, "And then what?" And I said, "I don't know. I got it." They were like, "Well, go study." it could be like that at the end of the sermon. Again, here tonight, this is maybe a little more teaching than preaching tonight. I'm going to have my head down a little bit, because I want to be really careful with the things I say. And in some ways, I hope, not in some ways, what I hope is really Christ will just be uplifted in our midst. We will see him in new light tonight, and that will affect how we live and how we view certain things in this life. Let's give our careful hearing to the reading of God's holy and infallible word, Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. "Therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God and of instruction about washings, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits." Please bow with me in prayer. Lord, we look to you now, knowing this is your word and knowing our need for you to illuminate it to us. And so please work now, by your Spirit and your Word, and help us to understand the things that you have written for our edification and our growth in grace. We look to you now, praying in Jesus' name. Amen. I mentioned I was gone this past week, and the reason why was I had the privilege of preaching the ordination sermon at most of you know, a young man named Patrick McNeely. He was ordained into the ministry up in Squamish, British Columbia, Canada. And for various reasons, I preached on the subject of, and one of the main reasons is because in ordination we lay our hands upon the man as he's then set aside and commissioned into the ministry. But for various reasons, I preached on the subject of the laying on of hands, and I preached, though, from not this passage. I preached from 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14, which says, "Do not neglect," Paul writing to Timothy, "do not neglect the gift you have, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery." Now, in that sermon, I cited our text, and I asked the congregation that was there on Wednesday night, which were family and friends of Patrick, all of the new members of the new Squamish Reformed Presbyterian Church there, and then quite a few of the ministers and elders that were in attendance from various Christian denominations, I asked them this question: would you have put the laying on of hands right up there next to repentance and faith, baptism, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment as being one of the most basic and elementary doctrines of Christ, as the writer of the book of Hebrews does. And in conversation afterwards, there was no one that I talked to that had ever thought on that subject at all, let alone thought of it being one of the more core and foundational principles of Christ. That as the writer to the Hebrews says, he doesn't even need to go back to this again. He's going to press on to other matters now. And therefore, because it is said to be such an elementary, foundational aspect of our faith, and because, as it has been with myself, I haven't thought much about this practice, this doctrine, I want to consider this with you this evening, making just a few brief comments on the subject. And what I'm hoping to do is to actually stimulate more thinking on the matter. I can almost guarantee you there'll be more thinking on the matter after tonight. It could be more thinking about me tonight as we go along here. There's no way I can be comprehensive. I might push it a little bit time-wise. I hope I don't. I want to keep it interesting, and I hope you can be engaged. I realize the hour is late, but I do want to talk, and I didn't have time to get the outline in the bulletin for you, but if you're going to take notes, I have two things I want us to consider this evening, or I want us to consider the laying on of hands by way of two points. And the first is simply the laying on of hands in biblical revelation. In other words, the laying on of hands in the Bible. Something of an overview and a summary of that. And then secondly, I want us to consider the laying on of hands in relation to the incarnation. The incarnation of Jesus Christ. Those are going to be our two points tonight, beginning with the laying on of hands in Revelation. We first read of the laying on of hands, the first time we see it in the Bible is that quite famous passage from the book of Genesis when Jacob takes his hands and he crosses them and he lays them on the wrong heads of his grandchildren. We read there, "And Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it on the head of Ephraim, who was the younger, and his left hand on the head of Manasseh, crossing his hands, for Manasseh was the firstborn." That mention of Jacob laying his hands on his grandson's heads begins the pattern of spiritual blessing being conveyed within the covenant community by way of the laying on of hands. It is throughout the Old Testament, and it culminates with Jesus putting his hands upon the children during his ministry and blessing them. We read in Mark chapter 10, verse 16, "And he took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands on them." Now, at this point, I simply want to suggest that there was nothing insignificant about Jesus laying his hands upon these children. He really blessed them. They really received blessing. It was not a mere ritual. It was not just a formality. In fact, the passage in Mark, like every other laying on of hands passage in the entire Bible, tells us and says emphatically that true an actual blessing occurred. Those children received the blessing of Christ by way of him laying his hands upon them. Back to the Old Testament for a minute. We started in Genesis, and I jumped forward to the New Testament. Soon after Jacob blessed his grandsons who were crossing it, the next thing we come to is actually the instruction of ordaining the Levites into the ministry. And we read there explicitly that the way that they are ordained into the ministry is by way of the laying on of hands. That practice of ordaining into church office continues right into the New Testament era. It doesn't end. It's found throughout the book of Acts. We see it with the ordinations of deacons, and we see it with the commissioning of ministers. It's throughout the scriptures. It is always there when the church officially sets apart certain ones for official ministry in the church, whether it's commissioning missionaries, ordaining deacons, putting men into the ministry. Okay, but I keep jumping into the New Testament. I want to go back again to the Old Testament as I'm trying to survey here. But back next after the ordination of the Levites, we come to Moses and the transfer of leadership in Israel from Moses to Joshua. We read in Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 9, "And Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom because Moses had laid his hands on him." Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom because Moses had laid his hands on him. Again, this is not a ritual. This is not just a feel-good action that helped people see that Joshua was now taking up a new occupation. No, a true conference of the spirit of wisdom happened by way of Moses laying his hands upon Joshua. In fact, if we had time this evening to go to each and every laying on of hands passage in the Bible, we would see that the laying on of hands was instrumental. In other words, it was there. It was involved in the physical healings, in confirmations of salvation when the apostles came to see new areas where the Spirit was working. It was there in, as I mentioned, the ordinations into ministry. It was there in the official commissioning of certain workers to specific works within the kingdom of God. It was there in the official transference of sin from an individual onto the sacrificial animal. It was there in the giving of spiritual gifts. Indeed, the giving of the Spirit Himself. At this point, it's enough of as far as I can go on a survey this evening of the laying on of hands in biblical revelation. I want to draw three concluding points, or say at least three things based on the laying on of hands in the Bible, laying on of hands in biblical revelation. The first is, it is always official. It's always official. That is to say, we do not see the laying on of hands happening in common everyday circumstances. It is not a casual thing that friends engage in with each other. It's not an everyday occurrence that regularly happens in our lives. Rather, it is an official action that the leadership of the church engages in or at significant junctures in the life of the church. It's there at ordinations. It's there at commissioning to service. It's there when elders are called to pray over the sick. It's there when God administers His grace and His healing and His salvation through the instrument of the church. So it is an official action. Secondly, it is supernatural. It is supernatural. That is to say, something happens. And the laying on of hands, I think, that can only be correctly, accurately described as more is going on here than meets the eye. That's about as good as I can do. More is going on here than meets the eye. It is not, and it never is, a merely symbolic ritual. It is never just merely a visual that calls our attention to a significant event happening. Now I'm going to go this far. The laying on of hands, heaven touches earth. Now I'm saying that, especially because some of you are very shrewd, very good theologians. I am not at all saying that the laying on of hands is sacramental. The sacraments, by definition, are signs and seals of the covenant of grace. That is not what the laying on of hands is. It is not sacramental, but it is supernatural. And I think we can have both. Gifts are given. Healing happens. Men are changed by it. In fact, if they are not, then we are wasting our time. I flew to Squamish for nothing, if that was meaningless. If God really wasn't active there that night, then that was a waste of time. You see, this past Wednesday night, Patrick McNeely was changed from being a common man to a commissioned man. But interestingly, Patrick's a good example because he already has gone through a ceremony in which he was commissioned. He was commissioned in the military. He went from being a common man to a commissioned man in the military. And once he was a commissioned man, there were certain things that were true of him that were no longer, or that are not true of everybody else. He had certain responsibilities and privileges now that I don't have, as he was a commissioned man. But here's the difference. In every other earthly commissioning ceremony, that ceremony doesn't deal with anything but that which goes on the earthly plane. When Patrick was set apart to be a minister of the Word and the sacraments, he is being commissioned as a Spirit-enabled minister of the kingdom of heaven. His reality, what he deals with, is things that are not just of this earth. He's dealing with matters that require the empowering and the enabling of the Spirit of the living God. That's not normal. That's not just natural. That is supernatural. He's been called to serve the kingdom of God. And if there is not a true and supernatural enabling for serving the church of Jesus Christ, let me say it again. If there is not a true and a supernatural enabling for men who are serving the Christian church, then we are wasting our time. Unless the Lord builds the house, we labor in vain who build. Now, something happens. I struggle to tell you exactly what it is. But God is involved. He is personally now invested with that man as he seeks to serve him and preach to him. See, it isn't automatic. We didn't open our eyes and Patrick was glowing. We didn't take our hands off of him and now he is infallible. In fact, it's interesting. Paul, in that passage in 1 Timothy 4 says, don't neglect the gift that was given you by the laying on of hands. In other words, it's not this automatic thing. It's a responsibility. It's a trust you've been given. But if God does not give us this glory in earthen vessels, something supernatural happens. Something is going on. Again, I can't entirely tell you what it is. But the third thing I want to say on this is that it is also always, and I made up a word, it is also always wholly spiritual. And I mean that not in W-H-O-L-L-Y. I mean it. It is wholly spiritual, H-O-L-Y, spiritual. It is simply, I'm trying to be clever and say that it always involves the Spirit of Christ. It always involves the Holy Spirit. Now, right about now, you're ready to lynch me. No, you know, this is, you're probably thinking, where in the world are you going? Let me calm down. Let me calm your Puritan blood down by quoting the great Puritan John Owen. Owen says this: in the rite of imposition of hands, what matters principally is the gift and working of the Holy Spirit. That is what I am saying. In the laying on of hands, what matters principally is the gift and working of the Holy Spirit. Now, I think we have to realize and we have to think about this. It is the case that God could have just conferred his blessing upon people without the laying on of hands. God could have men come into the ministry from the beginning of time. He could have had it from the beginning of time that men come into the ministry without the laying on of hands at their ordinations. He could have just forgiven sin without the transference of sin to the sacrificial animal by way of the laying on of hands. And he could have had the Holy Spirit given in the days of the apostles without them laying on their hands. But he didn't. The physicality was always there. And therefore, I think we must conclude that the physicality is imperative and necessary. But why? Why? This then brings us to finally, and much more shorter, consider finally this evening, and secondly now, the laying on of hands and incarnation. Our passage, if we go back and put our minds back at Hebrews chapter 6, our passage includes the laying on of hands as a basic and foundational doctrine of Christ. It's not just a doctrine general, it's a doctrine of Christ. It is listed there in that passage, here in this passage, with faith and repentance. The word washings there, it's interesting. It's the word baptisms. It's listed with faith, repentance, baptisms, resurrection, eternal judgment. And like each of those other matters, the key to each of them, the key to every one of those other things mentioned, is Christ. We are baptized ultimately because he was baptized. Are you willing to be baptized with the baptism with which I will be baptized? He spoke of his very death as baptism. We are baptized ultimately because he was baptized. We will be resurrected ultimately because he rose again from the dead. And we engage in the laying on of hands at specific spiritual official times in the life of the church because ultimately Christ has laid his hands on us and we have laid our hands on him. So under this point, I want to say two things. First, we laid our hands on Him. The great fulfillment of the transference of sin to the sacrificial lamb by the laying on of hands finds its ultimate fulfillment in Jesus Christ coming in our flesh, our touching Him, His taking our sin upon Himself. As we read so profoundly in 1 John 1:1-3, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and have touched with our hands, concerning the word of life, the life was manifested, and we have seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you. Or as we read in 2 Corinthians 2:19-21, in Christ God was reconciling the world to Himself. For our sake He made Him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. But we could only lay our hands upon Him because He first laid His hands upon us. God did not just decree salvation from the sky. We are not Gnostics who only do things with our minds. We are beings with souls and bodies, with spirits, with blood. Now, God didn't just invisibly and secretly accomplish our salvation. Rather, He wrapped Himself in our flesh and came Himself to save us. He was here. God came in Jesus Christ and He touched us. He laid His hands upon us. He blessed us. He healed us. He took our sin upon Himself and He saved us. See, God works through means. He could work independently of the physical. He could do that. But He normally doesn't. How all of these things actually work and add up, I don't entirely know. But I also don't understand how God is sovereign and I'm responsible. I also don't understand how Jesus is both God and man. And I don't understand how God is one and He is three. And I don't understand why God has chose to work through the official laying on of hands within the church. But He has. Just as He has chosen to bring the gospel in earthen vessels. But just as He speaks through the mouth of mere men, enabling them by the Spirit, so too He continues to touch us with His hand in the laying on of hands. The great church father that Calvin quoted so often, John Chrysostom, said, "The meaning in Scripture of the putting forth of the hand is that the hand of man is laid upon the person, but the whole work is of God, and it is His hand which toucheth." That is what the Bible teaches, and that is what the incarnation implies. There are special, official times when we come face to face with the supernatural. Heaven touches earth because Jesus came. He touched us. And by the working of His Spirit and through the laying on of hands, He still does. I want to close just reading 5 verses. It's Mark 10:16. "And He took them in His arms and blessed them, laying His hands on them." Matthew 9:18. "Behold, a ruler came in and knelt before Him, saying, 'My daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her, and she will live. Revelation 1, 17 and 18. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. But he laid his hand on me, saying, "Fear not, I am the first and the last and the living one." John 1, 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands. And finally, our passage this evening. Therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God and of instruction about baptisms, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. Please bow with me and pray. Lord, we pray that you would enable us to walk before you, honoring you, living by the power of your Spirit, and that you would keep us from disbelieving all that you have told us in your word. We thank you that in your plan of redemption, all along, you had planned that your Son would come, would live on this earth, would touch us, and we would touch him. Through him would come our salvation. We pray that as we seek to be a faithful church and follow everything that he has commanded of us, that we might know how to conduct ourselves in these special times where we see in Scripture that we are instructed to lay our hands upon, believing that you do something there, that you visit, that your Spirit is active. And we pray, and I pray tonight even for Patrick, that in time we would see the evidence of the work of your Spirit through his ministry. That great fruit, a great harvest would be brought in as you use him for your glory. May it be for all who hands have been laid on, who seek to serve you in the power of your Spirit. I ask these things tonight in Christ's name. Amen. Please get your psalm book. Please join me standing as you're able to. Let's sing together 20B. Psalm 20b, and then remain standing, please, for the benediction.